I would like to read the 127th Psalm so that you may hear it. Let it wash over you. Receive this, the word of the living God. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. This is the word of the Lord. And all of God's people said, Amen. Heavenly Father, cause your word to sink deeply into our hearing. Enable us to hear your voice and to follow your ways. May we tremble at the threatenings. Be encouraged by the comfort and clarity of the guidance provided. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, the one who has gone before us and who flanks us and follows us, for he is Emmanuel, God with us. And we pray in his name, and all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. Well, we press on in our series of sermons through the Psalms of Ascent. We have considered this psalm a number of times over the last number of years. All of that is present in this, but there's going to be a couple of different points of focus, a different foci in this particular sermon, and I'd like to begin this way. I'd like to begin with regard to idolatry, okay? To live and move and to have your being as if the Lord was not involved, as if the Lord is a non-issue, a non-factor, does not exist, for you to live and move and have your being in that way, that's idolatry. To do anything you do, to do any work, any building, any watching over, as if the Lord is not present and or involved is idolatry. There is a passage in the book of Acts where we are introduced to a regional king named Herod Agrippa. He's actually Agrippa the first, Agrippa I. And on a particular day, Herod wanted everybody to hear his voice. And the Lord had something else in mind. Herod was big and proud of all of his actions and activities, and the Lord had something else in mind. So on a particular day, Herod Agrippa I set this date on the calendar, and everybody needed to know about it, and the horns were blowing, and heralds were heralding, and Herod put on his finest kingly garments, his royal apparel, and he was decked out. And he got up on his throne, and of course the throne had to be out in public somewhere. Maybe they had to move it, or maybe they just pulled curtains back, or maybe they had people gather, wherever. He was on his throne, and he gave an oration. He had things to say. So he spoke to all the people gathered, and he's talking, saying, speaking, blah, 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 on and on. And the people were gathered, and they want to do their homage to their king. And they're listening with rapt attention, and they're holding up signs, and yes, and probably making whatever cultural encouragement noises that they can. And then they started shouting back, not to have him be quiet, but he would pause, and they would say, "The voice of a god and not a man." And then Herod Agrippa would go on, and they would say, during a pause, he would pause because that's a pregnant pause. He'd be orating. He would be speaking. He would be doing his kingly speech, and he would pause, and then people would say, "Truly, the voice of a God and not a man. Then something happened. And the Bible is very clear. It was like this. So the children, you know, it happened this quickly. Just like that. So he's speaking and he pauses and the people say, the voice of a God, not a man. It goes on. Right away, something happens. This quickly. Just like that. He's in the middle of his throne speech, his kingly speech, and the Lord struck him with an angel. The Lord himself sent one of his angels, one of his messengers. Herod's giving his message, and the Lord says to one of his messengers, one of his angels, go. And the angel strikes him right then because he didn't give glory to God. Did Herod do many fine things? Yeah, he built many things, and he helped with roadways, and he also did many nasty things. But he didn't give glory to God, so the Lord sent a messenger to silence the talking king. Shh, shh. And it happened that fast. And it wasn't just that the angel came. It was this Herod Agrippa the First was actually treated like that plant in the book of Jonah where worms ate the plant and the plant withered. The Lord sent worms right then, right then, and ate up Herod Agrippa the First. That's the end of the royal day. That's the end of the day. He didn't give glory to God. That's idolatry. I'm doing this, the work of my hands. Look what I have done. Look at me. And people are going, yes, the voice of a God and not a man. You are the God. There is the work. Our psalm is clear. The Bible is clear. There is the work of building and there is the work of watching over. These are just categories of work. You can call it creation care. You can speak of it in any number of ways. There's the work of building and then there's the work of watching over. And unless the Lord is involved as the primary builder and overseer, things will fail apart. The word used three times is vain. You know what? Unless the Lord builds the house, your labors are vain while you're building it. Go ahead and build the house. Unless the Lord is building as well, your labors are vain. And that word vain, actually, in many other places in the Bible, this is not the same word vain that's used in the book of Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities. This is a word that means lie. You know what, you're busy doing your work, you're busy doing your overseeing work, and you know the work that's getting ready to be mentioned in this particular psalm. It's the work of being involved with children. Being involved as a parent. You can be busy building and overseeing, and if the Lord is not involved at all, it's a lie. It's a lie. It's vain. It's vain. Three times. Vanity, vanity, vanity. We are supposed to work. We are supposed to toil. We are supposed to labor. It's not part of the curse. But we are supposed to labor and toil and work under the overworking of the Lord or the alongside working of the Lord. We are supposed to watch and care and guard. But we are supposed to do this under the watching, caring, and guarding of the Lord. Have you ever gone about whatever you go about without even acknowledging the Lord? You ever get going on your day? Phew! Who? I'm not asking you to answer that out loud. What's the most important thing you do on any given day? And do you go about that work without even seeking the Lord's blessing, guidance, favor, watch, care? If you don't, it's idolatry. You know what? I'm good. I'm doing this. So we're to go about our work as the Lord's image bearer. What did the Lord do for the first 6 days of creation? The Bible says that He actually worked. His creation was work. Because on the seventh day He rested from all the work which He had done. That's the way Genesis chapter 2 phrases it. The Lord rested from his work, which he had done. You're his image bearer. And everybody's wondering, where's dignity? Well, act like the one in whose image you're made. Work. And that was before the fall. That was before the fall into sin. We are dependent upon the Creator for creativity. And if you think, look how creative I am, you're doing a Herod Agrippa the First. Look at what I've done here. Because you're taking the glory for yourself and not to the Lord. Your creativity is to be a reflection of the Creator. Your designs are to be a reflection of the designer. Your life is to be a reflection of the life giver. Your breath, the very breath that you are saying, look at what I've done, has been given to you by the Lord. And by the way, to deny this, we have to use the breath he has given to deny it. I don't think the Lord really... You're using the breath he gave. Now, yes, this is a psalm about work. It's about the Lord's work and about our work. And it's about blessed work. And it's also about vain work. Vain work. And I'm going to say something here. Admittedly, it shouldn't be this way in the body of Christ. And by and large, it's not. But there are some people that seem to have an allergy to work. Some people seem to have an allergy to work. I'm allergic to work. Not feeling too well. That's a tragedy. To be made in the image of God is to reflect his image. Work. That doesn't mean that there aren't things to say. Can you overdo? You can't overdo being made in the image of God. But there is such a thing as overworking and neglecting other things. But that's not what we're talking about here. Some seem to have an allergy to work. And sadly, in the church, some people seem to have an allergy to even speak of work or works or good works. You say, oh, you can't even talk about that. Really? Well, this psalm, and matter of fact, the entire Bible, assumes the ongoing superintending prior work of the Lord, and then in that, we are to be about our work. You know, over the years, I have given my children kind of catechisms that we walk along the way with. It's not so much who made you. You know, some of you children are going through. I could do this to the children right now. Who made you? Come on. God. Why did God make you? For his own glory. You know the little children's catechism. There have been other catechisms that I have given with my children. For example, one of them was, is it a sin to run? No, Daddy, it's not a sin to run. Is it ever a sin to run? Yes, Daddy, sometimes it's a sin to run depending on the context, where I might be. Okay, good. There are other things, and even as, you're right here, so I'm just going to use you as an example. as my son works, I will remind him to go about his work and to remember three things. And I will say, sometimes at the beginning of the day, and these days it may even be a text message, remember when you go to work, remember, son, as you go to work, to be humble, to be joyful, and to be thankful. Humble, remember you're made in the image of God. Be joyful, look what you get to do, and be thankful. You know, and so all of this is just taking the whole theology of the image of God, the whole theology of our calling and who we are as servants of the Lord. I am but an unprofitable servant. What am I to do? I'm to be humble, as our gospel reading was indicating. I'm just doing what I was told to do, and I don't even do that very well. I'm humble. But I'm also, look what I get to do. I get to be employed by the Master. I need to be joyful in that. And I get to be, and I'm thankful for it. And if we went about our work, whatever we're doing, with humility, joy, and gratitude, I think you'd probably go to your tasks tomorrow in a whole different way. Anyway, just walk along the way type of catechism ideas. So we come to Psalm 127, and I'm going to do this rather briefly, but I want to emphasize a couple of things. We're to be people of ongoing toil and labor because we're made in the image of God. And this is to be wrapped in the reality of our Lord's prior and ongoing labor. We're to be involved in ongoing watching and caring, and this is to be under the ongoing watching and caring of the Lord. The psalm opens, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman, he's keeping his eyes open in vain." The Lord does not say, "Hey, stop working and trust me." The Lord says, "Keep working and trust me." In our Old Testament lesson today from Exodus 31, the Lord took Bezalel and Aholiab, artisans, craftsmen, men who were skilled at what they did, and then the Lord placed His Spirit upon them. They were working, and the Lord so valued work that the Lord gave His Holy Spirit so that what they could do was even better. Our epistle lesson today in Ephesians chapter 2. By grace, you've been saved. It's through the gift of faith. God gave you the gift of faith. It's not of yourself, so that you can't say, "Hey, it's me. I did this." None of this is of works, lest anyone should boast. However, we often miss the next bit. Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Okay, I've been saved by grace through faith. It's not of me, it was a gift. God gave me the gift. He has provided for me. He has equipped me and He's appointed me. Get about it. What did He appoint me to? He has crafted me. I love this passage. For we are His workmanship. By the way, the Greek word is poiema, where we get the word poem. We are His intentional, beautifully crafted, we are His craftsmanship. To do what? To walk in the good works that He has appointed for us. He started it, we keep going. When it comes to our work, our living and our moving and our having our being, during this brief life, we're to see 2 points from this psalm today. This is it, 2 points. We are dependent upon the Lord for all that we do. We are dependent upon the Lord for all that we do. Mowing the lawn, drawing plans, writing code, taking care of the home. Anything that you do, we are dependent upon the Lord for all that we do. And number two, we are to be diligent in the Lord in all we do. That's it. Those are the 2 points today. We're to be dependent upon the Lord and diligent in the Lord. We are to have both. And to reject one, either one, is idolatry. I want to point this out to you now. To deny our dependence upon the Lord in everything that we do, it's to act as if the Lord is not providing you with the very life and breath to do what you are now doing. It is to be a raw law unto ourselves, a self-God, a God of our own crafting, as if it is all me, my skill, my effort, my prowess, and it may be labeled this way: ambition, drive, initiative, skill, giftedness, success. We're just being self-made. To pursue this without acknowledging our complete dependence upon the Lord, who knows when a bird falls or when a hare falls, or when a tower falls. To do anything that we do without acknowledging our moment-by-moment dependence on the Lord is idolatry. It's actually selfishness. And you know what it's like? It's like a little child who's been given a gift, and the child takes the gift, and you know what? I deserve this. It's not really a gift. It's what you owed me. And then ignoring the giver of the gift. Inhalation and exhalation, your breath, dependent on the Lord. This psalm is given to remind us that none of it is possible without the Lord's prior blessing. I love the question that Paul asked to the church in Corinth. You know, the church in Corinth, they're asking a lot of tough questions. Here I belong to Jesus, but I live among a society that is just not in favor of Jesus. What do I do? What do I do? And yet pride would still creep in. Pride. And you know what Paul asked? What do you have that you didn't receive? And I'd love to ask that question today. I'd love to just ask anybody. What do you have that you didn't receive? Everything you have has been given to you. Gifted to you. What do you have? Name one thing that you have. So when you sit down to meal today, when you sit down or when you get ready for rest this evening, ask that question. What do you have that you didn't receive? Do you see how this strikes at our pride? It's a beautiful song, beautiful prayer, beautiful psalm. And by the way, there's a danger here for those who have great skill. I need to mention this. Those who have great ability, it's all too easy to forget the Lord. Those who are in particularly high-end professions, they've done a lot of work. Likely, they're recognized as brilliant. They may be the best in their field. They might have climbed the ladder. Their peers may be going, you are really, without you, this place wouldn't have made it. There's a great danger for those with great skill or ability to forget the Lord when surrounded by accomplishments and accolades and attaboys and what a girls and acknowledgments. So easy to forget the Lord. Hey, look at what I've done. That's the problem with if we deny that we are completely dependent on the Lord. The other problem and the other thing that this psalm teaches is that we are to be diligent in the Lord. And if we're not diligent in everything that we do, there's another problem, another idolatry problem here. So let's compare these and contrast these two. So on the one hand, there are those who are steroidal and insanely jacked up because they are committed to their own abilities or their own deity. They're not dependent on the Lord. It's all up to them. They don't even give what's been said out there. They don't even give God a nod. They don't even acknowledge the Lord. They are busy. They're too busy to acknowledge the Lord. They have no dependence on the Lord. There's no connection between who the Lord is and what they are doing. No connection between who the Lord is and what they are doing. For the people here, there's no connection between who the Lord is and what these people are not doing. Some are lazy. And this psalm, song, prayer does not allow for some kind of, oh, hey, you know what? The Lord is working. The Lord is active. The Lord is building. I'm good. The Lord is going to watch out for all of this. Just take it easy. Some people actually hear Jesus' words about the lilies of the field, which neither toil nor spin. And they say, yep, that's me. I want to be like a lily of the field. The Lord's going to take care of everything. By the way, this is often wrapped in some kind of false religion, false idea of piety. You know, the Apostle Paul gave an example to the church in Thessalonica. He says, you know what? When we were with you, we were working. We were working. This is what he said in 2 Thessalonians 3. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this. If anyone will not work, he shouldn't eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. And you say that to somebody today and they go, I thought you were a Christian. I thought you were kind. Well, I am a Christian and I am kind. And the greatest kindness I can share with you is the Lord in whose image you're made expects you, if you're able, to work and to work according to your ability for His glory and not your own, and then watch the Lord take care of things. So this psalm goes on because there are various ways that we can be busy and disregard the Lord. Just remember this opening point. We are completely dependent on the Lord for everything. And we are to be diligent in the Lord in everything. So the psalm rolls on because there are other ways to stay busy and disregard the Lord, and there are other ways to sit around and do nothing. Stare at a cold fire and disregard the Lord. The second verse is, it's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. It's vain. It's just as vain for you to go about your work without the Lord, go about your watching without the Lord. It's just as vain for you to get up early, stay up late, burn. It's not even burning the candle on both ends. You've taken the candle, you've cut it in half, and you're burning it on four ends. Look, got a lot of light here. It's vain. It's empty. It's a lie. That's a lie. This is not referring to those who must, at various times, get up before the birds start chirping, or who need to stay up late and miss some sleep. That's not what this is referring to. This isn't referring to those who, due to faithfulness to their calling, to their tasks, to their families, deprive themselves of sleep as they are serving others. That's not what this is referring to. This is not about simple clock watching. This congregation is filled with beautiful, diligent, dependent upon the Lord, faithful mothers who are up at all hours of the night tending to a sick or a troubled child, or because they are sick over a troubled child. There are mothers that will come in here, fathers that will come in here, and they'll worship, and they're going to plow through this because they were blessed with the task of building and overseeing into the wee hours of the night, early hours of the morning, tending to the children that God has given to them. So then they come in here, and the children are all over the place and making children-type noises, and they're still training them, and they're showing the children what this is all about. That's not vain. That's not a lie. That's not empty. That is a beautiful dependence upon the Lord. This verse is not speaking about those who get up early, hardworking people who stay up or go to bed late because of tasks and duty. This verse is about those who do so, who are getting up early, getting up late, because they cannot or they refuse to trust the Lord. They are so busy trusting themselves that they cannot rest. It's all about me. It's all about me. And you know, how did you start your day? How did you go through the day? Did you even pray when you were holding the little one? Did you pray as you were preparing lunch? Some of the most demanding work day after day. And you know, it's demanding because it's so regular. And that's faithfulness. By the way, that's what's going on in these Psalms of Ascent. It's step after step of faithfulness. What does it look like? How do you know someone's trustworthy? Because they've stayed the course. Sometimes things happen that you don't care for, that are difficult. Just keep going. Why? Because the Lord has enabled me to do this. And this is what faithfulness looks like. Does it mean that we don't weep with those who weep? Of course we do. Does it mean we don't rejoice with those who rejoice? Of course we do. Such people that refuse to trust in the Lord, to acknowledge the starting that, you know, Lord, you have given me this work. Storm rolled in last night. Wonderful Texas thunder. It's that thunder that you're just laying flat and you go, poof. I didn't know there was muscles that would allow you to do that. You just kind of go straight. And then you're awake. And I found myself awakened and thinking, Lord, bless your word this day. I thank you for the privilege of even standing in front of your word. Every task. We ought not to be in a constant state of blur, and you will be in a constant state of blur when you are trusting yourself and not trusting the Lord. Has the Lord ever let you down? No, but you've let people down. That's why you're all wobbly. You don't get any good rest. And then when you don't get any good, you more easily forget the Lord. But here, the psalm says, for he gives his beloved sleep. You know, I love this. The Lord is saying, you are beloved. I love you. I will give you sleep. Trust me. Trust me. Yeah, I gave you children. They are from me. Raise them for me. Train them. Truly train them for me. Children are mentioned. What more demanding work is there? What more demanding work? All of us are children. All of us are children. And yes, we could have taken a look at this psalm and spoken of the house of David and Solomon, all the sin in the family. We could have talked about the house of the Lord, the temple that Solomon built. There are children in both. There's children in your homes. There's children in the house of God. But consider the work. Children are mentioned as a great blessing and a great heritage. They're called a reward, arrows in the hand of a warrior, and they're supposed to be happiness. And here's the point. As parents model trust in the Lord and diligence in the Lord, we expect our children to follow in that. We trust the Lord. It's not because of how faithful you are as a dad. It's not how faithful you are as a mom. It's not how faithful you are as parents. It's how faithful the Lord is. But what the children see is the Lord has always been faithful, and my parents continually look to the Lord in the raising of the children. And then as the children follow in that, there'll be great happiness. There is no greater joy for any parent here than when their children say, I want to follow Christ. That's the greatest joy for any parent. To build or to watch over children without regard for the Lord's work and watching is to enter a deep vanity. Some try to do it alone without dependence upon the Lord. Others do it without any diligence at all. You know what? We're going to put the children belong to the Lord. The Lord's going to be fine. No, the children need to be trained. And by the way, that's what's happening here. It's training. And by the way, it's training, regularity, faithfulness, step after step after step. Children are given by the Lord, and one of the greatest sins would be to receive children without regard for the giver of children. Is that even possible in the church? Yeah. Children are not a penalty or a burden, they're a blessing. Where children are given, they are said to be like arrows in the hand of a mighty warrior. Children are weapons. You're thinking, whoa, I expected a little soft music here. I expected a little soft pillow. No, the Lord says children are like arrows in the hand of a mighty warrior. These are the children of one's youth. They are usually given in youth so that children can be trained, even amidst the failures of their parents. By the way, children, one of the greatest graces you can learn is how to give grace amidst parental failure. Newsflash, your parents are not sinless. What does it look like? What does the body of Christ, what does the household of the faith look like when sin is present? What does the gospel look like when sin is present? Children are given in youth. They can be trained even in the midst of parents who are failing, but parents who should be growing, so they can learn grace and be a mature encouragement to their parents as the years go on. Let's consider arrows for a moment, and then let's wrap up with regard to the blessedness. Arrows. You know what they are? Arrows are defensive and offensive weapons. They are defensive and offensive weapons. They are extensions of the mighty warrior. Children are supposed to be extensions of the godly household. The children of God are to be extensions of the household of faith. What does an arrow do? It goes from me out there when it is shot. Arrows are supposed to be shot out. They're to go out. They are expected to go where the warrior cannot go. They are to be sent out. This is the Lord's design. They are to go forth from us, even when there's been difficulty in preparation. You know what? In ancient warfare, arrows took time to prepare, to craft. Children, your parents take time, depending on the Lord, diligent in the Lord, to craft you, to shape you. What good is a crooked arrow? What good is a weak arrow? They're to be sent out. They are prepared to go out. And fathers and mothers rejoice greatly when the arrows go out and hit the target. It's a great joy. This is warfare language because there's a battle out there. And it's not a battle that we have to wring our hands about, because that's the thing. If we start looking at the battle that's out there and go, oh, and wringing our hands and biting our fingernails and pulling on our hair, we're not trusting the Lord. We're not showing our dependence upon the Lord. This is why this psalm says, depend on the Lord and be diligent in the Lord. Happy, blessed is the man who has his quiver full of them. There is a silent sadness of a home or a couple without children, without handprints on the Arcadia window, Arcadia door. There is a deeper misery, however, of a home or a children, of a home with children. Excuse me, let me back up. There's a deeper misery, however, in a home that is not dependent upon the Lord or striving to train children to be dependent on the Lord. That is a greater misery still. Those with many children, those with many gracious children, are wondrously blessed. The blessedness comes hand in hand with regard to gracious children. If children are gracious and following the Lord, there's a great blessedness. I think Spurgeon said it well when he said, a large number of children can mean also a large number of trials. Yet when faith is present, Spurgeon went on, it's a means of a mass of love and a multitude of joys. Why? You get to see the gospel working. Some quivers might be small and still full. Some quivers are very large and full. Blessed is the man who has a full quiver. Covenant faithfulness is the call. Are you dependent on the Lord and are you diligent in the Lord? We are to have arrows, Spurgeon said, not just sticks, which are knotty and useless. Knotty, naughty too, but he said knotty. So I want to conclude with just a couple of points. We've taught on Psalm 127 repeatedly. This simple point is this. We're to be dependent upon the Lord and diligent in the Lord. Fathers and mothers, continue to trust in the Lord. But trusting in the Lord is not inactivity. Young parents must be active, training their children, showing them the joys of worship, training them at home how to worship, taking the big L of liturgy here and manifesting it in the small L of liturgy at home. There ought to be a complementariness to this. And when a child sees your joy and your attentiveness and your dependence upon the Lord, they're going to learn that. They're going to catch it as well as receive your lessons. They're going to see, you know what? This is what we do. We worship the Lord. I'm dependent on the Lord. For everything that I've tried to teach you, the Lord has been teaching me. But you know, you can see that. You can see it where certain families, you know what, I'm not going to do that. And it's fathers and mothers need to continue to trust in the Lord, but that trust cannot be some kind of just sit back and do nothing. That's not trusting in the Lord. Train the children well. It's not me. It's not us. It is the Lord's blessing upon us. But that doesn't mean that your mother and I just sit around. When we speak to you, we're speaking to you because we're trying to train you in the ways of the Lord. We don't have anything that we did not receive. But neither have we been lazy. As with Adam and Eve, they were given the garden. They were placed in the garden, but they were to till the garden. They were to cultivate and adorn the garden. Gifts? Get about it. Children, rise up and bless. Rise up and bless your parents. Your discipleship needs to be thorough. Yes, learn the Bible, but learn also biblical practices. C.S. Lewis did say it well. There are two types of people in the world: those who say to the Lord, "Thy will be done," and those to whom the Lord says, "Thy will be done." Children, rise up and bless. Show that you are the recipient of grace, because grace is always active. If grace is inactive, it's not grace. Worship is at the heart of discipleship. And I've got to say something here. It's not enough that our children get to come to the table. Do we simply say, you know what, the Lord's name is upon us, we're good. And I don't need to be vigilant now. You know what, but he's 12 now, he's 12, or he's 16 now, or you know what, they're 7. Even paedo communion, we're blessed, we are blessed. The Lord loves us and loves our children and says, you know what, they ought to be baptized, and they need, when they're able to eat, they need to eat with the family. But if we get to the point where we're just trusting, oh, you know what, my kids get bread. Really? What does that mean when they go out of this place? What does this mean with the way that they are trained, with the way that they are taught, with their education, with the way that they interact with brother and sister and love one another? And even when things don't go their way, you know, like it is in your families? In your families, when things go sideways, you know what you do? You say, come on, let's gather around. We don't treat one another that way. Same thing happens here in the body of Christ. You know what? Things, we stub our toes and we sin against one another. It's impossible that offenses will not come. Luke 17, it's impossible that offenses will not come. How often should I forgive? How about 70 times 7? Well, what if he comes to me 7 times in one day? Why don't you forgive him 7 times in one day? Wow, all of a sudden the gospel starts to come to life. We need to trust the Lord in everything that the Lord has given to us, but our trust is to be an active trust. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it, but keep building. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain, but keep with your oversight. And in your building and in your keeping with your oversight, remember it is the Lord who has preceded you and who has flanked you and is following you and who is giving you guidance for His glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks through Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, the one who always does your will, O Father, the one who gave himself for us, and the one who has modeled ongoing obedience. Lord, I pray your blessings upon this congregation. Husbands and wives and parents and children, brothers and sisters, may we live lives that honor you in all dependence upon you, for you have preceded us, and in all diligence in your provision. Spirit of God, we praise you for your presence, for the enablement that is ours. May we live lives to the glory of you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we pray this in the strong name of Jesus, and all of God's children said, Amen.